There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Are we ready to go? Are we recording?
We are.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. You know I like to hear. Oh, bit of a fart.
You farted again.
Oh, yeah.
And you concentrated through it.
See, but we talked about this last, you know, you'll
well,
see.
It comes out in the future.
That's a preview for the audience, yeah. And that's a bit that we already did.
Yes.
You know, you got to be careful with recycling bits.
I'm not recycling, I'm just talking.
They know. The audience knows, they track.
You know what's weird is I have gotten to the point now where this show and our real life
are blending.
They're blending, and I don't remember what we talk about in real life as opposed to what we talk about on the show.
Never do. I never know. I have no fucking idea. I don't know. Like, did I talk about on the show about how we went to go see The Brutalist?
Yes.
So Natalie and I went to go see The Brutalist. Let me send this out to my our
your
audience.
Brooties.
Right?
Your Brooties.
We're Brooties.
Out there.
We're Broody family. A hashtag Broodyverse. Mm-hmm. Extended Broodyverse, what I'm hoping for, and the extended Broodyverse.
Build through death.
Yes. And I don't know if I said this on the show that here's a note to some of you guys out there. Everybody's got like a partner that sometimes reacts to content differently, and you know exactly how they react to things.
Yes.
So before going into The Brutalist, I'm not going to spoil it, right? But I knew it was already going to be a bit of a tough sell to get Natalie to want to come see The Brutalist with me.
There's an intermission, and it's about buildings.
That is literally what I told her. But also what I do then sometimes, when a movie like that, when I know this might be challenging for Natalie's, like, in terms of, like, a wife's taste.
Yeah.
I looked it up online, the Wikipedia. I spoiled myself to know what the ending was. Because mm-hmm. I'd heard the ending was shocking.
Yeah, it was cool.
And then I... Yeah, cool. And then I read the
It was
ending.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. And I read it, yes. But I knew that there were moments in the ending Natalie's not going to like. So about halfway through the movie, we get to the intermission, and I just turned to Natalie, and I just said, you know what? I'm tired. Let's just go home. Right? So we went home so that I could go and download the movie again just to watch the end.
Yeah.
And I got to say, man, that's weird to do.
What? Make the whole...
Just watch the 25 minutes of The Brutalist on a Sunday morning.
Oh,
you wake up.
I thought you were talking about what the Brutalist did in the movie.
No, I'm just saying that
the
waking up to only watch the ending. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get you going.
I do that all the time with the shit you send me.
Well, that's
different.
As
I fall asleep watching it, and then I have to wake up for the murder, and then in the morning I watch the murder part.
What was the last thing I said to you that was all that bad?
I mean, define bad. Like bad as in brutal or
well,
bad
I just
as
you
in
something
like
really
upsetting?
Then I just send you something really fucked up.
You sent me a 4-hour video of, what's this guy's name? Nichols talking to his friends in his living room.
Yeah, Preston Nichols.
Nichols, yeah. He sent me that.
An incredible
And they're
character.
All just sitting around the living room lying to each other over pizza.
It's because Eddie doesn't understand the true subtleties of truth. Welcome to Side Stories.
And if you want to hear the conclusion of the Montauk Project, please. Friday.
You'll hear it. You'll hear it. My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
Oh, look at that. We intro'd.
We did.
Hell yeah, man.
Just a couple of broodies.
I am a broody.
I am a broody now.
Broody's taking hate. I think broody's great.
What do you mean broody's taking hate?
People think it sucks. Architects don't like it.
What do you mean? Yeah, architects don't fucking know anything. They just sit all day with squares.
It is true.
What do architects know about movies?
They don't know shit about
movies. They do the exact opposite. Movies move. Buildings don't.
Buildings stay there
They
forever.
Stay right there. They better not change.
Yeah.
And then were they mad that he lied about what the architecture plans were?
Yeah, you got a movie finally.
Has anybody seen? Should I? Do I have to keep holding the ending of Adrian? This whole thing secret?
I think Brutalist. You need at least a year.
My
to hold
broody
the
heads
ending.
Haven't seen this yet. Broody head nation.
People don't know they're broody heads. Is my thing.
So you don't think they don't know that they're broody heads?
I don't think
they
know they're broody heads. I think after the next Oscars, you're allowed to say the ending of The Brutalist.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, because it almost won Best Picture.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, but let me tell you, it's a surprise.
What's a surprise?
The ending.
It's great!
It's fine.
No, I actually listened to the score in my free time when I'm walking down the street. I got the Brutalist score going in my head. It's
That's
fucking awesome.
Lot. Yeah, honestly, yeah. It's good. That might be a good soundtrack, too. I've been watching watched the first week of the Lori Vallow trial.
Oh.
And if you just put a nice, intense sound bed underneath this, all of this footage, it would just make it just...
Court should be scored.
It would be so much better if there was TV playing on the wall. I feel like if they had, like at the gas station, they even do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put sports up.
Well,
no sound.
Yeah. More sports for your courts.
See? And Lori Vallow gets to essentially... cross-examine and interrogate the victims of her crimes. It is one of the most harrowing. I mean this. I don't normally. It's boring. Court is boring.
Yeah, but not
inherently.
This.
I am gripped. I'm sitting and watching it like it's
the fact that they're even letting it happen.
I can't believe that it is such a utter heartbreak, and it's also like interesting because it's the American system at work. She's allowed to defend herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's allowed to go into these scenarios. And the jury, it's harrowing because this is a specific jury that does not know about the previous convictions. So the jury doesn't know that she's already, they know she's a prisoner, but they don't know who she's killed. And they are not allowed to broach that information until it becomes too much. And so what she'll do is, Lori Vallow will, one of the forensics experts that was talking about how the way the body was going, she decided to not cross-examine. He was one of the prosecutor's witnesses because she knew, they kind of interpreted that she knew that if she were to talk directly to this person, they were the forensics expert on the last trial in Idaho, and legitimately, then the prosecution can open up on redirect and talk about the previous convictions. So they are still holding. They've only heard certain things. Kay Woodcock, that was the grandmother of JJ, one of the dead kids, Charles Vallow's sister, she was on the stand talking to Lori Vallow. It's the fucking most intense shit I've ever seen. Like, they are, like, it's hard. It is hard. You're watching this person's a victim, an extended victim
but
of Lori Vallow.
The prosecutor doesn't get to ask about JJ?
The whole, Kay Woodcock kept saying JJ was, JJ had, JJ. So it's slowly coming out. They can't do it because technically what they're trying to, this is how they create a fair trial, is that they take the previous shit out of this trial so that you're only being looked at for this one crime, and they can't have the other shit affect the jurors' opinion of you this crime.
But what about character witnesses?
I mean, there it's all. If character was what sunk this woman, she'd be a fucking anchor. Everybody is basically saying this is an evil bitch that has done horrible things, but they're not allowed to say the words. They're not allowed to say the words "you killed JJ and Tylee" because it will fuck up. It'll be a hung trial.
But it's fact.
It would fuck with the previous trial. Certain things have to be met. I'm not quite certain, but certain parameters have to be met for them to bring that information in.
It seems like a very big piece of information.
Well, obviously, I think what's happening is that when you're watching this, so now I'm watching it for hours, and I tried to doing the mental math of subtracting what I know from what I'm watching, and you can start to see, there's a big circle of nothing in this that they are. You could hear you have to be, if you're watching as a jury, being like, what are they not telling us?
Yeah,
like there is a, so it's gonna come, it will eventually come. It's just wild to see her, just, she got a shock collar vest on.
What's that for?
If she lunges at the jury or lunges at a fucking witness, they have somebody there to zap her.
Oh.
Which fun.
They should have had that on, what's her name last
Shabusiness?
Week? Yeah, Shabusiness. How does she not have one?
She likes it.
Yeah.
Every time they hit her with it, she comes. It's hard for her. She can't deal with it. But this whole story, it's just, it's really fucked up. She also wouldn't talk to, like, her brother. The stuff with her and her brother, Adam Cox.
Yeah.
The DJ.
Yeah, the cool, the, well, not the cool one, but the one who was cool with the guy who was murdered.
Yes, the former DJ. He's now like, he's doing some other scam business now, but it was brutal. Like, they're all like, so what'd you think of me? She had to question the lady that went on a date with Charles Vallow 2 days before he died, where she did this whole, like, what did he tell you about me? Like, grilling this
Why
woman.
Would she even say that? Why would she ask?
She's and then finally she's like, so at what point did he tell you all about me? Blah, blah, blah. And the lady comes back. I think her name was Debbie Joe. They're trying to make a bunch of merch from it where she says, don't flatter yourself. We talked about other things as well. And you hear the crowd go like, oh, shit. Oh, motherfucking bitch. It's a fucking bitch. Take your fucking tops off. Start fighting each other. You know? But again, that's why I'm
that
not allowed in.
Cool.
That's not why. That's why I can't go.
You know, wait. You probably would be allowed in.
Oh, anybody can go. It's like a lottery. You have to wait online.
You should go to more trials.
To be honest,
you love it so much.
If
why
I had
not go?
Because I have like
you got Fridays.
I have a life. That's the only time. That's a life I have to have. I have to have it at some point. I'm already watching them online.
I think that this is a great new hobby for you, especially with the Menendez brothers in town.
Yeah, trial peeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's fucking crazy. The kind of shit that blows through LA is awesome. We had Richard Ramirez. We all the best trials come through here.
Some of the great crimes in the world's history have come through LA.
It's pretty great. I wish there was more in a way.
There's lots of stuff going on. We're going to get to it in a second, but we have two more updates.
Oh, I love this one. So I was halfway right about cloud seeding and weather manipulation.
Well, technically, I was also halfway right.
Good.
Good.
Thank God. All right. Weather manipulation. This is from a letter from one of our experts. Weather manipulation is 100% real. It just sucks. If you throw certain chemicals into the air that act as seeds around which moisture can condense, sometimes you can get some rain clouds. It only works with favorable conditions already exist in the atmosphere, though, to start rain formation.
That's why it won't work in, like, Texas or something.
The clouds have to already be there.
Yeah.
And then you seed them, and they do a bunch of stuff. Same goes for the opposite. We could try to disrupt storms from producing damaging hail and such, but it's unreliable and requires dumping chemicals into the atmosphere, which no one wants to do.
Yeah, and if you have a giant hurricane, dumping chemicals into a hurricane sounds like a bad idea.
But it's interesting, too, because I like this. Yes, obviously. Governments, mostly the U.S. government and many world governments, have been very actively trying to create dependable weather manipulation for a long time.
We could use rain.
People want it, right? There's a lot of talk of it being used in weaponized ways in certain parts of the world. You know, they were talking about floods in Congo. They thought they were made by the Chinese using cloud seeding to make it rain out, but that doesn't kind of really work out. But it's interesting. Like, think about this. There was a thing called Project Storm Fury.
Okay.
20 years they spent trying to figure out how to control hurricanes. Of course they want to control hurricanes.
Have to.
There's a lot of money in doing it. They would love to do it. They want to do it. Though it soared. Apparently it even kind of worked. But it was...
Certainly didn't work last year.
No. But the thing is, apparently the whole reason it was built on, like the whole hypothesis of how it was supposed to work, turned out to be like flawed and fucked up. So they pulled all the funding, 20 years of research down the drain. It's also like important to understand just how much energy is inside of a hurricane. Like, trying to kick off, according to the letter, trying to kick off or manipulate a weather system that contains vastly more energy than a nuclear weapon is a long, long way off from essentially encouraging clouds to piss out some rain over your cornfield.
Yes.
Like, it's wild. Like, I love this, the way this letter, this writer put it. Weather's so ordinary that most folks don't think about it, but massive exchanges of energy are going on in the air over our heads every day. Sure, the base chemical and thermal controls over weather are relatively simple, But the atmosphere itself is a hugely complex and tremendously powerful thing. The sheer scale is immense. Being able to control it with any accuracy would take godlike technology. It's like trying to push back the tides.
Yeah. It's impossible.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Unless you got a lot of powerful orgone harvested from scared babies, from their uteruses and from their carved out adrenal glands, or getting a bunch of rich people together to talk to reptilians over a menorah.
Also, I'm gonna say chemtrails, fucking pussies.
Exactly.
They ain't stopping no hurricane.
They've done that jack
little,
shit.
Your little fucking cloud trail, that ain't stopping no hurricane.
Fucking get with the program.
Hurricane's a bad motherfucker.
It is hard to fucking take down. Ask Miami.
Yes.
Ask fucking anywhere in Florida. It is rough. It is crazy to see how much damage you can do, and it's just ale.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It is crazy.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you, too. Fuck your ass, man. Fuck your fucking ass.
No, you're a good guy.
Peanuts law. Peanuts law. All right, this is another update.
Yeah, what is this?
I am in charge of the animal news. I'm declaring it right now.
I know. This is your department.
This is my wheelhouse. I love it.
It's what you do best.
So Peanut, the squirrel that was murdered by the cops. Remember this?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he was the OnlyFans people had the squirrel that the cops came in. And
yeah, they were mad at the guy.
Because they were babysitting kids in the neighborhood.
The whole and
they
thing. Were like,
but which is should be allowed. We decided when we talked about it on the show.
Yes.
You know, because they're not bad people.
No.
But now, Peanuts law, which would require a 72-hour waiting period before animals from animal sanctuary are euthanized.
That's nice.
Yes. This comes from the wonderful news source, Channel 3000.
Oh, wow.
Mark Longo, who lives on a farm in Pine City near the Pennsylvania border, took a squirrel in after seeing its mother get hit by a car in New York City. Very sad, we all know.
Very sad.
He named that squirrel Peanut and started an Instagram account for him, gaining hundreds of thousands of followers in the course of 7 years.
But that guy had also had a huge fucking cock and balls.
I think the people watching were watching for the cock, not the squirrel.
They better not have been.
He had the gray sweatpants, and we all saw his huge cock. Yeah, the
big old wiener dinger, and he's got like, and he's at the
October 2024.
Shameful what he did.
Yes, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation went to Longo's home, seized Peanut and a raccoon, nameless. After the agency received complaints that wildlife was being kept there illegally, the DEC worker involved in the investigation said that the raccoon was also euthanized and tested. Both results came back negative for rabies. You know, because it's the only way to really test them for rabies is to kill them.
Kill them. You got to go through their blood. You got to like run their body through like a gravy mill.
Yes. But now, because of this and the popularity of Peanut, you will get a 72-hour leeway to see if the animal has rabies before they're euthanized.
That's a really nice change.
I think so.
You know, and then if they got rabies, they have to be destroyed, and if they're just frothing of the mouth, maybe they were brushing their teeth.
It's amazing that it took a squirrel.
It took a squirrel.
And you know, I was talking to my, and I'm sure I'll catch shit, but I was talking to my vet father-in-law, and he said, very old, by the way, and we were talking, and he said that squirrels don't really get rabies, and there's no recorded squirrel rabies.
We talked about this, is that it was probably mostly, it was ulterior motives, but yes,
yeah.
Squirrels are actually largely immune to rabies.
In a weird way.
It's very strange.
Yes.
Little bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You think that they would, because they'd be so cute, killing your family. That'd be so cute.
Live from your grave.
All right. My favorite story of the week.
This is huge.
This was my favorite story of the week. I got it sent it to me multiple times. God, I love that. I love Los Angeles. This story. We all love the band Weezer.
That's not true.
You don't like Weezer?
I like a handful of songs.
I used to like them more. I don't like the, obviously no one anybody with any substance does not like the new album. Sorry, I like the old albums like we all do.
Pinkerton and Blue are great.
Those are amazing. Perfect. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No Pinkerton nuts.
Blue, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No nuts.
I can't believe they wrote a song called Hash Pipe that I don't enjoy.
It's a bad song. It's their worst thing, and actually almost made me want to throw out every single piece of merch and album I ever had of theirs. But I'm having an older reaction to it and understand.
You're liking it more now.
No, I'm saying the more that I can still be a fan and not like most of their albums.
Doop, doop. Island of the Sun.
Don't. Hate that song.
Hate that song.
Also hate that song. They did ruin a lot of their legacy later on. And I've also heard they're a bit stingy when they are performing live. But they're still big. I'm still a big fan of Weezer.
Stingy how?
In terms of like they don't give it their all. Sometimes Rivers Cuomo seems out of it.
I would be too.
I wouldn't be.
There's no substance in the songs.
You're a rock star. Get over it.
He's a nerd.
You're a rock star. Fucking get over it.
Yeah.
All right. So, but Scott Schreiner, he's not over it. He's the bassist for Weezer. Mm. You know what I like about him? Unflappable. Bassist, got to stay in the pocket, right?
Yeah.
Ba-doon, doon, doon. Ba-doon, doon. Got to be a fucking rock solid guy, right?
Yeah.
Which must be, because that man fucking puts up with a very interesting wife. Her name's Shillian Lauren. And she's cute.
Yeah.
She's fun, kind of foxy lady.
I mean, yeah, she's right? Married to a rock and roll guy,
right? Yeah. But instead, she decided to insert herself into the search for three men that were running from a high-speed chase, and then she opened up a fire against a bunch of police officers, and they shot her, and then she was put into jail on $1 million bail that she had. So that they just paid and got her out. This whole story does not make any fucking sense.
Did she know the people running from the cops?
No. So, okay. This is how I can maybe parse this out. So everything began on last Tuesday, 3:25 p.m., which is sad, of course. It's always right before we record. There was a hit and run on the 134. LAPD, they responded to a request for assistance from Chips. They went in there and they were in Eagle Rock, right? For those of you who don't know, Eagle Rock in L.A., crunchy, yet expensive.
Yeah.
Right? It's a part of the city in which very, Weezer very moneyed. Yes, it's where Weezer lives. It's where people with money live to pretend to have no money.
Yes.
Right? Lauren, this lady, Jillian Lauren, which again, it's really hard to fucking describe anybody with two first names. So there was a high-speed chase. The suspects left their car. They ran into the bunch of backyards in this residential neighborhood. The manhunt led officers to the back of a residence where Scott Schreiner of Weezer and his wife, Jillian Lauren, live.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Jillian Lauren was in the backyard of her neighboring property. So it wasn't even in her property. She was on her neighbor's property.
Okay.
With a handgun. Lauren pointed handgun at officers, who said, "Hey, white lady, please put it down." Because that's how nice they are in LAPD. That's how nice they are when they see it's a rich woman with a handgun. They went, "Please, pretty please, if you would just please put the gun down."
Yeah.
She responded by opening up a fire at them.
She fired at them or into the air?
She fired.
Yeah.
It sounds like when a police officer...
I thought she did like a warning, pop, pop, in the air.
No police officer's gonna take it as a warning.
No.
You know, they chased a few guys. This is according to Maria DaCosta. This is someone who says the LAPD was chasing the guys. Weezer's wife comes out of the house with a gun. They then shot her in the shoulder.
Tiny shoulder.
Which is, to be honest, sadly, it shows restraint on LAPD's count, right? They technically didn't riddle her with bullets because she was a visibly rich white woman.
See, that's where they fucked up, because now we know they can aim.
All right, so they arrested her. She came out with the babysitter. Now, two clues here. Number one, she didn't listen to the police. She fired either at them or towards them or above them. They continued to fire at her. She went in, and her response was to bring out her babysitter that was also at home. Now, I don't know if you've ever met anybody that's a mom that has a babysitter with her that's not under police observance. Normally, if you need a full-on team to raise your family that's just a child in a living room, means sometimes I'm going to go out on a limb. I know what people need help. People are going to talk about this, but sometimes I'm reading right now, Difficult Woman.
Say it ain't so, honey.
I'm reading Difficult Woman. That's funny, Eddie. You got to save it. Can you do it correct?
Save it for what? Save it for here.
I don't know. You're right.
This is when you do it.
You got to do this. You got to do it right, though.
What? Say it ain't so? Say it ain't so.
Thank you.
Lauren, when she got shot in the shoulder, do you think her sweater came undone?
Whoa! If you want to destroy my sweater, shoot me by police. I love this. This is great. So many parodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, Lauren. All right, so she got shot in the shoulder. She brought out her, I think she brought her babysitter out to be a human shield. I'm not quite certain. There's some video camera footage. This is also, none of this is coming out, but one of my favorite parts about this whole thing was that obviously total fucking utter chaos. Mm-hmm. She's given a $1 million bail. They got the cash to do it. She pays her way out, even though she is technically, her crime is she's being charged with the attempted murder of a police officer, which could get her 10 to 15 years in jail.
The problem is she did this in the backyard and not in the garage, because that's like inside.
He wrote a bunch of these down earlier. He had to have been writing these. He had to have written these down earlier. I love this stuff. But this is, I guess, my main thing is yes. If you have to have a team while you're looking at your children and they are not Adam Lanza armed, there's a lot going on here. And also, I think it's very interesting to see Scott Schreiner's approach. So the next day, so his wife got shot. All this hullabaloo. Scott Schreiner is just walking his dog, and he's walking his dog normal. Paparazzi's like, oh, what's up? He's like, oh, don't worry, she's fine. She's fine. That's his answer. Yeah. She's fine. And he says, don't worry, still playing Coachella. They didn't even think about rescheduling Coachella. Weezer, if you could see right here, if you look at the Deadline article, they went out there, no mention, obviously, what was going on. They just played the play.
It's honestly the best thing they could do.
Oh, of course. But Scott Schreiner is just so... He's so used to this woman.
I mean, he's obsessed with that pink triangle.
He must be, but he is used to this woman. Another thing you should understand, this woman, Jillian Lauren, she was a part of a harem of a Dubai prince.
Mm.
She wrote a book about it.
And then she got tired of sex.
God, that's good. Another good deep cut. God, that's great. She also was in, she wrote another book about her discovering self. But then most interestingly, she interviewed one of the most prolific, if you believe his claims, one of the most prolific serial killers in American history, Samuel Little. And she wrote a book. This is her name. The Jillian Lauren wrote a book.
Is that the guy who killed like 80 people?
Yes. She wrote a book called Behold the Monster, Facing America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. And she also was on a Starz documentary, Confronting a Serial Killer. She was becoming this like true crime talking head. And I think what's interesting, I'm just going to say this out here. I think a lot of times, Kurt Vonnegut said, be careful who you pretend to be, because you become who you pretend to be. And I think on some level, there are some people out there, and I've met them in this space, the true crime space, that sometimes believe at some point that they've become a police officer.
Yeah.
I think that Jillian Lauren received a, what I like to call, superhuman white woman confidence boost that came from, I want to say, the same thing that inspired Eva Braun, the same thing that inspired Allison Mack from NXIVM. This powerful, Julia Roberts. These powerful women, the people that inspire these powerful women, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes you get this boost of confidence where she legitimately thought, I think in her mind, I'm helping catch these criminals. These police officers don't understand that I'm helping to catch these criminals. So that's why they're trying to help me, tell me to stand down, but they don't get it. I've got their six. And it's like, you're just a lady with tat sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a police officer.
No.
But she found out because they shot her.
You know where she wouldn't have got shot?
Where?
Beverly Hills.
That's actually, she was pretty close. You don't think, oh, she would have been shot to death in Beverly Hills. Because that's where she doesn't want to be. Yeah. Beverly Hills. One of the worst fucking song in the entire thing. Even that is fucking even worse. And I just think it's hilarious that the guy just had no, Scott Schreiner had no
reaction. What about the other guys?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No response.
Yeah.
I think that she might.
No, I'm talking about the guys that she was sticking up for, the guys who, the hit and run guys.
I don't think she was sticking up for them. I think she was trying to kill them.
Oh, she was trying to kill.
I think she was trying to catch criminals.
Oh.
That's my read on it.
Oh, and then the cops, you know, she was like, I'm on your side.
Yes,
and
I'm pretty certain they're like,
the cops are like, no.
No, you're not,
though. Only in dreams.
Yeah, you're not, though.
Yeah. Eddie. Oh, my
God. God, you just did it again. God. Yeah, I wonder what this footage. Yeah, look, she's got like a. Yeah, that's her with her babysitter. The babysitter standing in front of her. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Man, honestly, though, fucking give that babysitter a raise.
Oh, no, she's going to be fired, sadly.
Fired? She did a remarkable job. She's not only sitting the baby, but the woman.
Unfortunately, Jillian still got shot. The only way she would have gotten a raise is if she died in the process of protecting her boss from the police. Fortunately, that money would have went to her family.
Oh, man.
Well, that's it. We're going to find out more. Obviously, I think we're going to hear more from her defense attorney. She hasn't made any comment yet. We don't really know what she was doing or thinking what she was doing while she was doing it. I think that we're going to get some form of woe is me social media turnaround on this. I think that we're looking at a potential budding Hilaria Baldwin here, and we're gonna find, or she's entirely innocent and I'm wrong. I could be entirely wrong, and she was just cleaning her gun in her backyard.
No, yeah, for sure.
And she could have had headphones on.
This is still better than the Ghost Adventures wife.
Oh, the Ghost Adventures wife was actively trying to commit murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was trying to commit murder.
Yeah.
That's different. This is just, I mean, I don't know what this lady was thinking, but I will say too.
I think she had a case of too much time on her hands.
Yeah. Is that a Weezer title or is that another joke?
No, that's just just me talking. Yes. I think that she's sitting at home. She's not even watching her kids.
No.
You know, she's like, oh, great, the cops are here.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah, I'm a kill. I get to kill now.
You don't buy the gun to not use it.
No, of course. That's why you have it, because it's just sitting there collecting dust like the candelabra from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, that, I mean, he was sexually assaulting those dusters.
I'm just saying. Like defending the candelabra. I'm just saying he was bored. He had nothing else to do. Idle hands. The idle hands.
Idle candles. Also, very dangerous for him to be fucking the feather dusters.
Hey, he
all that
thinking.
Fire?
He wasn't thinking, buddy. Up. He was thinking with his little candle penis.
Oh, man. Yes.
Live from your grave.
Are you ready for this next one?
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. Just show me this next one. I like this guy.
Authorities say teen killed parents to get money for assassination. That's right. Prosecutors say teen's manifesto spelled out a plan to create chaos in the government. A Wisconsin teenager charged in the February deaths of his parents faces wider allegations that he killed them to obtain the financial means to assassinate President Trump cause a governmental collapse, according to a recently unsealed federal warrant.
He can't seem to get past first stage. Kill mommy, kill daddy, get money. It's so hard to do, guys. It's not that easy. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking to get money for that assassination budget, coin pull.
Yeah.
You need to do a Bitcoin rug pull. OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, he's 17, so he probably couldn't have done OnlyFans.
I mean, you know, they lie. They lie.
Yeah. So Nikita Kasip, 17, was charged last month by Waukesha County authorities.
Waukesha
County authorities. Is that the same place where Rittenhouse went?
Yeah, fun place for these guys.
It's the same spot, isn't
it? Whoa, I guess that must be Cute Boy Central.
he was charged with first-degree murder, theft, and other crimes in the deaths of his mother, Tatiana, and stepfather, Donald. Kasip is in custody in the Waukesha County Jail.
He looks mad.
Yes, he's very mad. Unfortunately, definitely looks like someone who killed their parents.
He does, yeah. He definitely has patricide face.
Yeah, he's in county jail on a $1 million bond, which is the same
yep.
as Jillian.
And does he have 100 grand? People. Does he have 100 grand liquid?
I think that Jillian does. She should hook his ass up.
I think that Jillian has had enough justice for one day.
I think she could write a whole nother true crime novel just on this guy. County prosecutors have offered a glimpse into the federal allegations, which were outlined by the FBI.
Wow.
Federal authorities say Kasich detailed his plans in a 3-page anti-Semitic manifesto praising Hitler and per the search warrant called for the assassination of the president of the United States. Now, which seems weird because we have our most Hitler-like president.
Oh,
if
yes.
anything, he should. If he really felt like this, he should have tried to kill Biden.
I think that
maybe he's too young.
I'm just going to say I feel that it's confused.
Yes. Yes.
I feel that his belief system is not all on one page.
The manifesto allegedly, well, it was 3 pages. The manifesto allegedly outlined Kasich's beliefs in the resulting chaos would lead to a revolution that would save the white race.
Oh, sorry about that. No, sorry.
By the way, we're fine.
Yeah. I don't think
we're actually hunky dory.
Sorry, Dweeby. I'm sorry, Adam Lanza. This is not.
We don't need you to save us, Kasich.
You're not helping us. Sorry, it's not doing it.
About his plan to kill the president and overthrow the government of the United States. The killing of his parents appeared to be an effort to obtain the financial means and autonomy necessary for carrying out his plan.
You know who's the only white person I think done wrong by everyone?
Who?
Still? Chet Hanks.
Chet Hanks?
He's the only one. That needs justice.
Has he done anything wrong? He's just a goofball, right?
He's anti-vax. He did a little anti-vax thing, and he was like, he had the thing with a Jamaican accent, but.
You know, as opposed to everything else, not that bad.
That's what I'm saying. Bar's low, my friend.
Anti-vax, Jamaican accent. I think you could chalk that up for stupidity.
You know who else did that? Did you see, what's his name? The character Beans? The kid from,
Yeah, that's not him doing the rapping.
That's not him?
No, but
it's not the dude?
No, that's not
I thought
him.
It was the same guy. That guy,
like him.
Here, just show, if you could show Eddie this guy. Who is this guy? He makes me laugh.
Who's Beans?
Even Steven.
This is what he really looks like.
He's
right
not
here.
Returning to the show, and they're going to be doing this reboot, right? And
okay.
He kind of looks like this, right? He looks like a normal balding man,
he
right?
He definitely looks like a child still.
He does, weirdly.
Yeah.
But then this came out that people thought was Beans. Which is this rapper man, M.R. He might be.
He looks nothing like him.
He's English. Wait, look at the video. You got to see him rapping because he kind of looks like him. Yeah, this one right here.
Oh, God.
See, he kind of looks like him here.
He looks very sick in this one.
But here, listen to him.
I don't think we can play it.
Can we not play it all?
Different I don't think we can.
Why? Because copyright?
Yeah, they might get mad.
What are you talking about? He does a whole Jamaican.
I think it's good we can't play it.
It's a full patois.
Yeah.
He's very sexual in it.
He does not look that way.
He looks just like the old guy.
I guess when he looks all brutal like that.
He looks just like that.
The other picture you showed me, he looked like a normal person. But yeah, he does look awful as well. And this is so Beans had to say he's not this guy.
Yeah.
Well, back to Kasich. Kasich was in touch with a person who speaks Russian and shared a plan to flee to the Ukraine. Per federal affidavit, authorities found material in Kasich's phone related to the group holding neo-Nazi, racially motivated extremist views.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to take him in Ukraine. I don't think that he's going to be a good soldier for the front lines of Ukraine.
Yeah, the group is also strong anti-Judaism, anti-Christian, and anti-Western ideology. So I don't even know what they're for.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he might be confused, and now I'm glad that he'll be in jail for a little while to get
worse.
Seems
like he's going to be in jail forever.
Oh, yeah. He's killed his parents.
2 people.
Yep.
But at 17, they'll try him as an adult.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going all the way.
Yeah.
Even though he definitely has a childlike face.
He does, but he's upsetting, and he's going to get probably gruesome looking as well. So, I mean, that's, I feel like, I mean, that's a side story.
It really is. And, you know, it comes down to it's not a good way to make money, guys.
No.
You really want to flip a lot of stuff. If you can get that capital, the goal really is, I mean, you know, he should have gotten into STEM.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be good at coding.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think he's stupid.
Mm.
Here's another fun story. A woman in Australia. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
A woman admits trying to sell human toes that were regurgitated by dogs.
No way! It's like Yahtzee!
Yes, the woman was working at an animal shelter in Australia when two dogs were brought in and the dogs puked up human toes.
That's amazing.
Yes, and the reason the dogs had eaten the human toes is because the dogs were left alone with their owner that had passed away.
Oh my God, dude. So this is what this whole bitch did. This is amazing. So Joanna Catherine Kinman, she saw the dogs throw up the toes.
Snatched them up.
Her first thought, she was just like, oh, all right, I'll get them toes in. Yeah. I'll get them toes for me. I'll get them. Look at that couple piggies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a couple piggies, take them down to market. And that's what she did. Her first thought was to take the piggies to the market. She put these regurgitated human toes.
Well, she does. This is what she does. She's
a toe dealer?
No, she's a bone dealer.
Bone dealer!
Yeah. She has other items she's been selling, including an alligator claw, a bird skull, a guinea pig trotter, which I don't know what that means.
It's feet.
Oh, okay. And her children's teeth.
Again, these are all fine. This is none of this is even.
I don't think
even,
it's fine to sell your children's teeth.
Fuck her kids' teeth. They're garbage anyway. If you want them, good. You take them. That's free money.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Tooth Fairy's money comes from, Eddie?
She's an active member of the Facebook group Bone Buddies Australia.
I bet. And I bet you they do a little bit more than human bones, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I bet you they are fucking.
Yeah. Remember when we were in Australia, that guy gave us the quokka skull.
Oh, yeah. Which we had to get rid of because it was bad to have.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's an endangered species and we're not going to travel with it. So we didn't take it.
No.
We left it in Australia where it belongs.
Yes.
With the other quokkas.
Yeah, I threw it at a quokka. He said, you start crying.
Yeah, no,
He was like, Daddy, who's my diddy? Who's it, my diddy?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm keeping your daddy's skull. And he's like, that's a quokka shit.
I said quokka shit. That's funny. You did that joke.
I did that joke there, and I think I did it on the show, but I like it so much that I will continue to do it whenever a quokka is mentioned in my presence. I will at one point say, that's a quokka shit.
You're allowed. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee.
That is a seasoned comedian.
But she chose
using what works.
But the idea of it going like, quack, quack, seeing a dog go, quack, quack, throw up two toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then your first thought is just like, all right, thanks. Well, cool capital.
Yeah.
All right, that's the beginning of a business then.
She appeared to believe she could make as much as $400 Australian dollars by selling the toes.
That's so much. But I can't even believe that.
Which is $253.
That's amazing.
How
am I? Oh, wow. I'll get $250.
How much do you think you would pay for two toes?
I'm not Marcus.
Well, I'm saying he has birthdays every year. You know, you got to get him something. This seems like an opportunity.
How do I say this? Kind of like with the diamonds, with the Tiffany diamonds.
Yeah.
Fresh human toes.
Yeah.
$100.
So then these were puked up by a dog, which
$20.
That could be worse or that could be better.
I'm helping you with these toes.
Yeah.
Obviously. If I'm purchasing the toes from you, I'm helping you because you shouldn't have the toes.
Those dogs must have been hungry too because they didn't even chew them up. They just swallowed them.
They just went after the toes because also you wonder if they were biting them up just to try to wake them up.
Oh, maybe.
Chewing on his little feet.
Yeah.
And eventually we're like,
Yeah.
You ever have that? You ever have the dog look at a wound?
Oh, dogs love wounds.
Yeah, and it's
Well, it's
like,
cleaning. It's like a thing.
Yeah, but then you're like, stop it. You're going to taste for blood.
Yeah. Well, what's more of they're just trying to help you?
I know, but still, they're going to get taste for blood.
Oh, yeah. Which is good. Right?
I don't know. I didn't want them salivating for it.
Oh, I got another toe story.
Yeah, toe?
Yeah. A driver blames come-and-go crash on his Crocs.
See, you got to be careful when you're driving with the Crocs because they do slide off.
Yeah, so this guy, a Missouri man, drove...
They slide off.
Drove straight into a come-and-go gas station, which is... We love our come-and-goes here.
Absolutely. It sounds like he came and stayed.
But he said his Crocs got caught on the gas pedal and he couldn't get them off. And so he drove straight into the place.
Dude, it's real. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with your Crocs. They slide sometimes.
I wasn't allowed to drive in my flip-flops and I got mad at it. But now reading the story, she's probably right.
People do anyway. And I know everyone's like, so cool. Everybody's so cool. And you do it. But you got to be careful because it could slide off you. And then it's not cool to be dead.
Yeah. It caused $3,720 in damage. Which doesn't seem like that much.
No. It really doesn't.
I feel it really is not that bad.
No. I guess it's like, when it comes down to it, it gets, a lot of it's covered by insurance. And if it's a mistake, they can get past it if they can prove it.
Well, I don't know if people believe him or not. For when the cops arrived on the scene, Hammett denied being the driver of his truck and being the one involved, but later was like, it was the Crocs. So,
yeah, of course it's the Crocs. You gotta be careful.
I mean, but he denied it. And so,
because he didn't want to be, he was going to be made fun of by the community.
He's been charged with leaving the scene of an accident where property damage exceeds $1,000, which is a felony. And he is scheduled for May 14th Circuit Court hearing in Missouri.
He should probably be, I imagine they will look at it. He was not intoxicated?
It does not say he was intoxicated, but if convicted, the Class E felony, Hammett faces between 1 and 4 years in custody,
as
well as a maximum fine of $10,000.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So he can get a lot. Well, you left the scene of an accident.
It's kind of amazing. They literally do that. I guess that is the main thing, is leaving the scene of the accident, because it's like, for like stalking, like deadly stalking, it's like the most you can get is like 5 years. It's like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of time for that.
So many things.
If nobody died,
well,
it's just property.
Scary.
But I'm just saying, in terms of this,
yes.
If nobody died and just
this
property,
that's a lot of time. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a lot of,
especially if it was an accident. But he did leave.
Yes,
you got to take responsibility.
Problem.
You take responsibility. You're probably just paying for the window.
It's just money, and it's mostly covered by insurance if it's an actual accident and you can prove it.
Yeah,
unless of course he left the scene of the accident because he was intoxicated.
Mm.
Which is quite possible. It happens. You got to be careful, though, because they will come looking for you. And I think it's time for some listener letters.
Oh, do we have any?
I got one. We, after last week, first of all, one thing that we missed immediately is the video, the body cam footage of our lover lady and her five boyfriends. What's her name? From Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
She looks like she honestly looks like Ringo Starr from that Thomas the Train Engine.
Oh, okay.
She does. She has a Ringo.
I was going to say the trash heap from Fraggle Rock.
She somewhere between the two. She looks like if, yeah, she looks like if Teddy Ruxpin had tits and had no, and you shaved him. You shaved him, right? She's a rough looking lady. But, you know, it really just shows when it comes down to it. It's the love finds love. Love and love and love. Love finds love. Love beats love.
Yeah. And if you're going to commit a crime, do it at a Red Roof Inn.
So this woman tortured a man that, if you watch the body cam footage,
By the way, I blame you for not bringing in the body cam footage. You live for body cam footage.
The problem is that it's really, it's not worth it to share on this show because it's so hard to hear. It's like, it's more important to watch it for everybody's sake to just go say, like, I saw so many comments, people being like, I can't believe she's got five boyfriends and I can't get somebody to take me out tonight. And it's like, look at the boyfriends.
Yeah, you can have one of those boyfriends.
Oh, you could have one. Her name,
it's
Martina.
Six boyfriends.
Oh, yeah. Well, five, and then one that was trying to crawl back. Martina Jones with Aaron Bradshaw, Aaron Bradshaw, Austin Bradshaw, David Cessna, Chance Johnson, and Michael Escada. These five, I'm just going to go ahead and say, literal homeless dog men with their central spoke that they all glommed onto like spiders covered in cum.
If the Manson family was inbred.
Oh, this is a gross batch. But if you watch so they were torturing a young man that was a part of their, I guess he had apparently, if you listen to the body cam footage, he had confessed, I guess, to being back into having sexual feelings with Marina. He was just a friend. And then they all decided to haze him back into the fuck circle.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was beat him, put out cigarettes. He was forced to stand in this room at this Red Roof Inn. And we read a couple of reviews of the Red Roof Inn that they were in.
Yes.
Last week. And I got a great testimonial from somebody that was an employee at a Red Roof Inn. I love our hospitality workers. I support our hospitality workers. I know working as the cleaning staff of a hotel is an extremely difficult job, and it is a thankless job, and oftentimes you have to see horrific things.
Shout out to the lady working at the Ramada in Jacksonville I was recently staying at, who found me water because there was no water in the building and I was dying.
The nicest people in the world a lot of times. So this comes from one of our intrepid employees of a wonderful Red Roof Inn in Poughkeepsie, New York. Ooh, yummy, yum. Yeah. I can even imagine. I was listening to the most recent Side Stories, and y'all were talking about the man who was beat over the course of 7 days at a Red Roof Inn. Well, when I was in my early 20s, I worked a summer at the Red Roof Inn in Poughkeepsie. Wow, wow, wow. It was awful. And I only lasted 2 months. Other than the obvious normal stuff of dealing with customers, I got two stories. So I worked checkout, which was 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. If a guest did not check out physically at the front desk, you had to knock and check the room. This Red Roof Inn was pretty small, so I started on the first floor and I got to a door that I had not checked out. I knocked and knocked and finally entered. It looked empty. I opened the bathroom door, and to my utter horror, I saw a man in a bathtub who had slit his wrists.
Mm.
I called 911, and from what I heard, he was okay.
All right.
This was my first week. A sign I should get the fuck out. But I stayed. Now,
so it became a red floor in.
Whoa, red tile in.
Yes.
I also wonder, in my mind, guess what? If I'm ever going to do it, if I'm going to commit suicide again, I'm doing it where everybody can see me, on the front steps of the White House.
That's actually a good spot to get, but I don't think you can get to the steps.
Oh, I'm getting there.
I don't think you can.
It's going to be a part of my plan, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
First, you start from the inside. You start with a tour.
Okay.
And then from there, you work your way outside.
You know, a lot of people think that the back is actually the front, so you got to be careful.
Exactly. Taking a shit in the rose garden. Number two, this is the second story. There was a family staying at a hotel due to being displaced by a fire. I think Red Roof Inn gets a lot of people that are displaced.
Yeah.
And then they decide to go someplace. And you know how they decide to go there? They say, let's go to this place.
Yeah.
It was
our house burned down. Let's go to another place with a red roof.
Exactly. Do you want to feel better about our burned out home? Let's go to a horrible, let's go to hell itself. Again, I don't mind shitty hotels. I actually am fine with shitty hotels.
They have to exist.
I'm about to stay in one. I'm about to stay in two. I got to go to Oscoda and I got to go fucking back to Palm Harbor.
Yeah.
So I got to go stay in horrible ones. Don't worry, it ain't old Ritz-Carlton's Frole Zabrowski. Two. His family was
the
staying.
The shit's Carlton, that's what you're saying.
That's where I'm staying. There's a wife, husband, two little kids, and a grandma all staying in one room. We had free breakfast from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Grandma was down there getting coffee. Headed out to front to smoke a cigarette, and I came back inside and used the lobby bathroom. Because grandma had to get some tobacco in there.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed she was walking weird, but I didn't really pay any attention to it. While cleaning breakfast up, I went to the lobby bathroom to get paper towels. That's where I realized why Grandma was walking funny. There was shit everywhere. Shit on the floor, shit on the sink, shit on the toilet. There was hot dookie everywhere, but inside of the toilet. Immediately broke down crying, called my housekeeper and begged her to clean it up. I quit soon after.
Red Roof.
Ah, check it out. You can go visit Red Roof Inn with our code LASTPOD90 to go get it. I wish it was a big tie-in. That would be amazing. Nothing would make this better than the honeymoon suite over at the Red Roof Inn. Perfect place to fuck on your period.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. Ah, Red Roof Inn. Better than the brown ass fucking chalet.
Do you think they call her Marina because you could park a boat between her tits?
Oh, boo. This woman just looks like, you know who she looks like? You know the fat guy that was in all the trauma movies?
Yes.
Frank Pellegrino?
Yes.
That was his name?
Yeah. It's close enough.
Doesn't she look like him? She runs a tight ship, dude. If you watch this body cam footage with
that.
This lady, she goes like, phone, now! And the guy like jumps and gets her phone. She goes like, where's my candy? Give my candy. She goes and gets his candy real fast. She is just fucking, these boys are ready to go. She's like, eat my pussy. And they're like, how deep? That is amazing. But that's why, ladies, you got to go out there and ask for more. All right?
Yeah.
Live every day knowing, yeah, Marina, she might have, yeah, of course, she's having sex with the version of a bunch of street dogs. All right, but that doesn't mean that you can't get your own harem. All right, live every day knowing for a fact that you're a fucking free ass woman that just has to be like, yeah, sure, I don't have my harem right now. Her him, his him in. You don't have your him in yet, right? Which is the man harem, right? You don't have your hymen yet, but you can laugh knowing for a fact that all you got to do is literally put up a Craigslist advert that says, pussy's got room for four, and they will come running. I mean it. There, you don't even have to try. All right, then you could laugh your way to the bank knowing that you have five weird, too skinny man slaves that you could do anything that you want with because you got the pussy that controls them. Own it, girls. Get them out there and fucking be the change you want to see.
Get a hymen.
Get a hymen. Honestly, a lot of times, the worst part about a male harem is that they never know where their wallet is. They never know where their stuff is.
Yeah.
But that's just mostly your job. That's what you're holding the whole thing together.
And they're not good at cooking.
They are not, buddy.
Unless it's meth.
To be honest, I wouldn't even buy fucking meth from these assholes.
Who do you get your meth from?
It's Brian Cranston. Get a patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left to pay money to watch us talk. It's that easy. And then you can also pay money to watch us live on Patreon, 6 p.m. Tuesday Pacific time, live. See last stream on the left. It is fun. You can yell at us. Go to lastpodcasttheleft.com. Buy tickets to see all of our live shows. There are many.
Yes, there are many. And the Invasive Species Tour is about to kick back off. Henry's going to come with me on this one.
I'm very excited. I can't fucking wait, dog.
In Naples at the Off the Hook Comedy Club. Very dangerous place. I can't wait to be there.
Mm.
It's on a Tuesday, so it's going to get a little salty.
Wow.
So come check me out there. That's going to be on May 6th. And then May 7th, I'm going to be with Henry at the Fort Lauderdale Improv.
Yeah, baby!
We're doing side stories. I'm going to do a full set. We got Lisa Correo's going to host it.
Also, we're going to be doing quite a bit of crowd work. So it's going to be very, very interesting in Fort Lauderdale.
And especially because I know most of the crowd. So
I can't
they're just going
wait.
To be destroying me left and right.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a fucking
Those
massacre.
Those people are not impressed by my life.
I can't wait.
May 8th, Henry and I will be at the Orlando Funny Bone. That's going to be a lot of fun. Doing two shows there. The early one sold out, so get tickets to that late show. And then May 9th through 11th, I'm going solo. Well, I'm bringing my wife to Comedy Key West. It's going to be a lot of fun. I got Lisa Correo open for me on that one as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come check that out. I love Key West. I'm going to go to the Pirate Museum. I'm going to do all kinds.
I'm
going to go visit Robert. We still have to figure out what I'm bringing Robert.
We got to get him a little piece of merch.
We have to get Robert some merch for sure. We need to get on top of that. I don't know what's wrong with me. Dad's Garage. Henry and I are doing side stories at Dad's Garage June 29th.
Yeah.
The day after our last pod show at the Coca-Cola Roxy. The early show for that one is sold out as well. So make sure you get tickets to the late show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And they're both shows are going to be completely different because we're entirely improvising both.
Yes, we're going to ask for suggestions from the audience. So come and yell at us and give us bad suggestions. And then, of course, the wonderful Crime Wave at Sea. CrimeWaveAtSea.com/last to get tickets to see Henry and I on a boat.
It is legitimately going to be, we're going to have a blast.
We just had a meeting with these guys and they're like, oh, so you're just doing the show. And we're like, that's crazy. We're doing more.
Yeah, so we signed up for a bunch of crazy shit.
So we signed up for a meet and greet that we're definitely going to do, a nice long meet and greet so we get to meet everyone, even though the whole weekend's a meet and greet because we're just going to be walking around and then there's going to be a late night party at the last night that we're going to be a part of and then maybe even a special separate event.
We are going to get fucked up.
Yeah, we're not coming on this cruise to fucking sit around and do nothing. We're coming for your asses to have a good time. And then, of course, at the end of May, early June, Contact in the Desert.
Yes.
Henry and I are going to be doing a side stories there as well as the last podcast proper. A full comedy night with Amber Nelson. It's going to be a fucking blast. So make sure you come out to Contact in the Desert and hang out with these weird fuckers. And if I can do one last thing, HGX2, the Hoopa Goo Goo game. The one we put out last week, it's on YouTube right now.
Go watch it.
It is probably my favorite episode that we've done. That fucking show is in its pocket. We're taking a little break, but we're going to come back strong.
It's so good.
I'm very excited about the show. It's probably my favorite thing that I do because it is truly a return to stupidity.
Yes.
So please watch that one. Watch the whole thing. We got 11 episodes available on the Last Podcast on the Left YouTube channel. So watch all of the Hoopa Goo Goo game, HGX2. You love it, you fuckers.
Also, we have some special hidden news. Keep your eyes on the feed next week. There might be something special in there beginning to unfold.
Yes.
We're going to put it out there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put it out.
We're going to have some
extra shit. And then we're going to stick it in.
Yeah, and then stick it out. And
put it right back in.
And
then we're going to have it sex. No,
sex. Having sex. Hail sex education in America. And hail Satan. Ha ha ha!
Hail Peanut the Squirrel. Thank you for your new law. You guys be good to yourselves, and we'll talk to you next week.
He died for a reason. That's all you can ask for.
Because he potentially had rabies.
Yep.
That's the reason.